This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Washtenaw United. I want you to think back to the year 2010. That's when we began to see and hear all of those public service messages proclaiming, "It gets better." The idea was to lend support and give hope to struggling members of the LGBTQ community. Within that community, suicide and murder rates were well above that of the general public, particularly for the transgender. 11 years down the line, is it better? Our guest this morning is fully immersed in these issues. Roz Gould Keith is founder and executive director of the nonprofit organization Stand With Trans. Now, it comes out of Farmington Hills, but has been serving those in Washtenaw County as well. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for doing this and for sharing what we do.
The broad and general assessment, Roz, more than a decade later, did the slogan work, "Is it better for the trans community?"
I would say that we are slowly moving in the right direction. You know, we definitely will have an administration in place who's going to look out for the community. And here in Michigan, we certainly have top officials who are supportive and accepting. On the downside, we do not have statewide protections for trans folks. It's been hard. There are a lot of folks in the LGBTQ community, not just the trans community, but many who have suffered significantly emotionally and feeling that they don't matter, they aren't valued, they don't have rights. There are many who believe that by endorsing equal rights for all, somehow it takes away their personal rights. And of course, you know, that's just not accurate. But it's been rough because from day one of the administration, we've seen rights taken away. And there have been actions to really diminish and pretend that this community doesn't exist. And then, of course, this last year with the pandemic has just exacerbated everything. So it's been rough.
Let's talk a little bit about your personal experience. Back in 2013, your son Hunter came out to you as transgender. First of all, has he discussed with you since the difficulty he had in coming to the decision to tell you?
You know, we've had lots of conversations, and particularly early on, we had a couple of incidences that occurred and conversations that led him to coming out. And I always look back and wonder if I hadn't pushed him in those moments, how long it would have taken him. But he knew for at least 2 years before coming out to me. You know, for us, it was a situation where he was increasingly wanting to shop in the boys department. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why. He didn't tell me why. And then he asked to get his hair cut. And that was fine. I mean, I wasn't one of those moms that was like, "Oh, you have to keep your hair long. You have to wear bows." And it was like, okay, let me see what you want, what kind of haircut. But then the pictures that he was sending were of boys with short haircuts. They weren't girls in short haircuts. That's when I looked up and said, "This is pretty masculine. Is that what you're going for?" And he said yes and walked out of the room. I raced upstairs after him and, you know, went into his room to have the conversation. And that's when it all just came spilling out.
So as a family, as you come to this realization and now everybody is out in the open and you understand what's happening, how acquainted were you with gender diversity issues?
Not at all. I had never heard the word transgender, so I had to start Googling. I only knew in that moment what my son had told me. And he said, "I have gender identity disorder." So I started Googling that. Now, to show you how things have evolved, that phrase is not even used anymore. That's not a diagnosis. But now we talk about gender dysphoria and we talk, you know, we have different language, but I knew nothing and there was no one to help me. And there was not one resource in our community.
And that brings us to the next point. So you've become an accepting parent. You are an ally to your son. How quickly did you realize that there was a gap in what is available in terms of service and decide to advocate for the gender diverse community?
Great question. So it took us about a year to find the resources that he needed. And that's all I was focused on. And it was just heartbreaking because every call ended in a brick wall. I just couldn't find the right, there, you know, there were no support groups, there were no programs, there was no adolescent gender clinic. I mean, mental health professionals weren't trained to work with transgender adolescents. I mean, there was just, it was hard. And so it wasn't until we got him on his way and we started talking a little bit more publicly on social media, and then we were asked to share our story as a family. And once we did that, people started coming out of the woodwork. You know, families were identifying with our family, and that's when we knew that, you know, we had to do something to help these families because they were struggling. They felt alone. The kids felt alone. My son looked at me and said, "I don't know anyone like me." And for a parent, that's just devastating. You don't want your child to feel isolated and alone. So yeah, that's when we started talking about what the needs were.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Roz Gould Keith, who founded the organization Stand With Trans. She also writes a blog. "When I was a kid, I wasn't too fond of my parents talking about me to anyone. You know, parents are embarrassing sometimes. How does Hunter feel about being public with all of this?"
You know, he's fine. When we were asked to share our story publicly, it was really a family decision. I have another child. I have a daughter. So we all had to agree to be open and in the public about this, and everybody did agree. So Hunter has been pretty good about being visible. Now that he's older, he's in college, he can make choices about who he tells. He's just a 21-year-old doing his thing. So that has to be respected. But we've been lucky because we've had a lot of support. And so we've been able to do this work and grow and evolve and just try to help more families and more youth, which with COVID and people being quarantined has provided new challenges.
Stand With Trans states its mission is advocate, celebrate, educate. How do you approach the advocacy component?
Well, a lot of that is really through the education, but everything we do, we try to wrap it in messaging that shows that we stand with the trans community. This past fall, we worked very hard to promote equality voting. As a 501c3, we can't endorse any political candidate, but we can encourage people to vote. We can encourage equality voting. And so that's an example of the advocacy piece. And we've also worked with the HRC here in Michigan to provide advocacy training to parents and youth so they can learn how to speak up for themselves, go to the school board, write an op-ed, talk to the media, talk to an elected official. So those are all skills that help to build confidence and increase self-esteem that is often so lacking in a marginalized community.
And that in and of itself is reason to celebrate.
Yes, absolutely.
Through the Advocate, Celebrate, Educate process, is Stand With Trans winning hearts and minds?
Gosh, I hope so. I hope so. We have a lot of positive recognition and feedback, and we now, because everything currently is virtual, we have people from all over the country signing up for our programs. We had an entire month in October, Trans Empowerment Month, of content, and we had kids from other countries registering and coming on the sessions to connect and engage and learn. You know, there's so much work to be done, and we're pedaling as fast as we can.
Have you set some specific goals for this year?
We have. We know that currently we'll have to continue to be virtual, and then most likely when we can meet in person, we'll retain a hybrid model, because the virtual programming is really providing more access for people, so we don't want that to go away. And we look at things in three buckets, really. It's education, it's direct support, and then social and community. So we're being very mindful about the programs that we develop that will fit into each of those buckets and serve the needs of the youth and the parents, and hopefully fill the gap where they can't access resources and they can't access community.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're continuing to talk with the executive director of Stand With Trans, Roz Gould Keith. We are, of course, and have always been, a society of labels. Is it part of the much longer-term goal to be able to live without label?
Well, our vision is to erase the stigma surrounding trans identities. I don't know that we'll ever get away from labeling. I think in a perfect world, that would be great. We just need to start with seeing people as human beings and not to judge a book by its cover. You know, you can't determine from someone's outward expression how they identify, what their gender is, what pronouns they use. And so those are some of the talking points that we focus on when we do training, because we really want corporations, people in the community to understand that the pronouns are important, but it doesn't have a reflection on their performance or who they are as a person, and they shouldn't be treated any differently. So we have a long way to go.
I'd like to thank you for the time, the information, the perspective, and I'd like to thank you for the work you're doing and for making a difference.
Thank you.
That is Roz Gould Keith. She is the founder and executive director of the nonprofit organization Stand With Trans and our guest on Washington All United. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.